ministry. Take your Bible with me and turn to Luke chapter 5.
Luke chapter 5. Continuing to look at the Gospel of Luke and the portrait story that Luke tells about Jesus. And here we see in chapter 5, these verses that we'll look at, another priority of Jesus' ministry. In the last couple passages, we saw the priority that Jesus had in teaching there in the synagogue and the public teaching of the Word and His authority we looked at last time. But here in this passage, we see another priority, and that is he's beginning to work with a small group of men that we know as disciples. That was another one of Jesus' priorities, working with these disciples. I remember as a boy, one of my eager desires from the time I was very young, was to go fishing. And I think my first memory of going fishing was when our family lived in British Columbia, Canada. We lived on Vancouver Island, and there was a place where we would go. My dad would take me in a little town called Campbell River, which is on the east side of Vancouver Island. But Campbell River is the salmon capital of the world, and lots of salmon go right through there, and people catch them. But I remember there was this big long pier that went out into the water there on the coast, and people fishing on that pier, these big long fishing poles, and way down into the water. And I thought, wow, that's what I want to do. I want to catch a fish. And I think we did go fishing there. And as I got a little bit older, that would be something I really wanted to do. Dad, hey, can we go fishing? I really want to go fishing. I don't like to eat the fish, but I do like to try to catch them. And, I never really succeeded much as a fisherman, and I don't really fish that much today, but I do remember being very excited about it as a young boy, about trying to be a fisherman. And we see here in this passage that Jesus' disciples were already fishermen. That was their occupation. That's what they did for a living. And Jesus comes to them, and he begins to train them to be involved in another kind of fishing, as he says. He wants them to become fishers of men. But we see Jesus teaching them and leading them to become the kind of fishermen, the kind of fishers of men that he wants them to be. And so I want us to see in this passage how Jesus trains these fishermen. And we see for us today how we can be a fisherman, a fisher of men. And I want you to notice four strategies to becoming a true fisher of men that Jesus points out as he works with his disciples. And we see the first one in verses 1 to 3, Jesus is there teaching. Verse 1 says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So we get a picture about what's going on there. Christ is continuing his teaching ministry, and he's there by the lake, as it says there, Lake of Gennesaret, another name for the Sea of Galilee. But he's there on the coast, and the crowd is getting so great that he feels like he needs to step out into a boat and continue to teach them there. And so that's what he does. He finds this boat, which actually turns out to be Simon Peter's boat, and he continues to teach from the boat. But I think he's doing more than just teaching this crowd of people. I think Jesus is beginning to work with his disciples, and specifically Simon Peter. Jesus has made use of Simon Peter's boat specifically. And Simon Peter had to offer up his boat and obey what Christ told him to do, to, you know, take it to a certain spot where Jesus could teach the people a little bit better. And so I think we see here the first strategy to becoming a fisherman, a fisher of men, and that is to support Christ's service. Support Christ's service. That's what Christ is teaching Peter to do here. Christ is in the midst of teaching, and he has to make use of Simon Peter's boat. He's teaching Peter that he needs to be there to support Christ's service. Be willing to help indirectly. Jesus didn't come to Simon and say, "All right, Simon, get out there, start teaching. All right, you see all these people, start ministering to them." No, he said, "I want to use your boat. I want to get in your boat, and I want to teach from your boat." And Simon had to be willing to help indirectly. He wasn't necessarily directly involved there, but he had to be willing to help indirectly. Then we see that a lesson we can learn from that is that Christ may make use of your current ability. As we know, Simon's current occupation was a fisherman. And Christ took that occupation and something very specifically tied to that occupation, the fishing boat, and he made use of that in order to teach people. Christ may use your current ability. You may have another ability that Christ would call you to make use of. Maybe you're not a fisherman. Maybe the Lord would make use of something else that is currently a part of your life, and Christ would say, "I want to use that part of your life." You have to say, "Okay, I'll support that. I'll do that." Somebody once said that God is not so much concerned with your ability as with your availability. And I think that's true. You know, Christ wasn't necessarily concerned about all of Simon's abilities that he had there at that moment, but he had a boat that was available, that needed to be available at that time, and he wanted to make use of that. I read the testimony of G. Campbell Morgan, who was a British preacher in the early part of the 1900s and traveled on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean, here ministered in the States numerous times. But he said this, G. Campbell Morgan said, "I never was a fisherman. I never earned my living fishing. Some of you may pity me if you like. I never got any fun out of fishing." But he said, "In the year 1886, I sat at my desk teaching with boys all around me, and I loved my work and I would love it still. I was trained to teach. But there came the hour when my master passed by and he said, 'Follow me and I will make you a teacher of men.'" So Christ may take your ability. He may use your current ability or maybe your current availability and say, "That's what I want to use." You may not be a fisherman. You may be in some other profession. But Christ may take that and use it. And are you willing? Are you willing to support Christ's service, even if it's indirectly, even if it's with an ability that you may have? Support Christ's service. Then we see the second strategy that Christ is encouraging here for his disciples as they learn to be the kind of fishermen that he wants them to be. We see that in verses 4 and 5. Notice verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.'" Here we see a second strategy to becoming a fisherman. Not only supporting Christ's service, but we see the second way is to submit to Christ's command. Submit to Christ's command. So we see that After Jesus was done teaching, Jesus gives an instruction, a command to Simon Peter. Go out into the deep and let down your net for a draught, for a catch of fish. Simon says, Master, we have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Submit to Christ's command. Here we see that submitting to Christ's command required faith. It required faith that was willing to overcome what seemed unreasonable. Simon was the fisherman here. Simon was the expert in fishing. Simon had already fished all night, he says. It's now later in the day. It's probably not an ideal time to be out there in the deep fishing, right in the middle of the day. Faith has to overcome what seems unreasonable. It would have seemed very unreasonable. Simon expresses that here. Master, we have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. But he still chooses to obey. We see that it requires faith to overcome what seems too simple. You know, Christ's command to Simon was not something complex and hard to understand. It was a simple instruction. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Nothing complex about that. But sometimes we need faith to overcome what seems too simple. That seems too simple. It doesn't seem like that should work. But God may be testing us with a simple command. Will we obey a simple command? I think about the story in the Old Testament of Naaman the leper. You remember that story where Naaman the Syrian had leprosy and somebody told him that Elisha was a man of God and could help him. So he went to Elisha and he was offended that he didn't even come down and meet him, but just gave him an instruction. And that instruction was to go and take a dip in the Jordan River. And he was mad. 2 Kings chapter 5 tells the story. But then somebody tells Naaman, one of his servants, 2 Kings 5:13 says, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. God may be testing your obedience with a simple command. Are you willing to obey a simple command? Simon Peter had to overcome and recognize he just needed to obey that simple command. So that may have something to do with our witness for Christ, our evangelism. Are you tempted to stop letting down the gospel net? But isn't that Christ's simple command to us? Prayer. Does it seem like God is not responding to your prayer? But isn't it God's simple command to pray? Boys and girls, your parents may give you a lot of commands. I'm sure that they do. And most of them are probably very simple. Right? Clean your room. Be quiet. Pick up your shoes. Those are simple commands. Are you going to obey those? Simon Peter had to obey Christ's simple command. And he did that because he was walking by faith and not by sight. Faith has to overcome what seems unreasonable. Faith overcomes what seems too simple. Submit to Christ's command. And then we see what happens next in verses 6 through 7. When they had done this, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. So we need to submit to Christ's command because Christ's power is the absolute necessity. Here, Simon Peter and his co-workers, his co-fisher of men, they had been at work all night. And how much did they get? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet, Christ tells them what to do. Let down their nets, and they catch a whole humongous catch of fish. Christ's power is the absolute necessity. That's why we need to submit to His command. Diligent effort is ineffective by itself. Simon Peter had been working hard, worked all night. What did they catch? Nothing. But when Christ told them to go fishing, that's when they were effective. When Christ gave the word, and when He said it was time, that's when they had the results. The power of Christ makes the difference. The power of Christ. And we see Christ's power displayed for us here, being the Son of God, the Divine One. He knows where to catch the fish. He knows right where they are. He knows right where their location was. Knows where to send the nets down, maybe even directing the fish into the nets. Christ's power over the created universe. We see that. I'm reminded of Psalm 127, first two verses there, which says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep." We see there the principle that is displayed for us here in this passage, that we need Christ's power to be effective. We cannot be effective in ourselves. We cannot produce results in ourselves. Christ's power is the absolute necessity. That is what we need. Only the power of God produces abundance. Christ's power is the absolute necessity. So we need to submit to Christ's command. And then we see a third strategy here. Christ teaching His disciples how to be fishermen. He teaching Peter that he needs to support Christ's service. It may be in an indirect way. Peter needs to submit to Christ's command. It may seem very unreasonable. It may seem overly simple. But true faith overcomes those two things. And Peter overcomes that by his faith. But then we see how Peter responds in verse 8. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" Peter responds to what he has just seen. He is astonished. And his reaction is to say in verse 8, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He knows that he does not compare with who Christ is. He has had a display of Christ's identity. And he sees himself, perhaps even his own lack of faith, as he struggles to obey that simple command. And he sees the results, and he's astonished. And he has a sense of his own sinfulness here. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man," he says. But we see here in Simon Peter's response another way that Christ wants his disciples to respond as he is teaching them to become fishers of men. He wants them to support his service, to submit to his command. But then we see, thirdly, that he wants them to see your own unworthiness. See your own unworthiness. The response that Peter had was actually a good response. Christ commended it. Christ used Peter in spite of his response here. We do not compare to Christ's character, and there needs to be a time in each one of our lives when we have sensed our own unworthiness before the Lord. And we would sense that same saying that Peter says, depart from me, I am a sinful man, I am a sinful woman. See your own unworthiness. Christ is holy. You are sinful. And each one of us today needs to acknowledge that. Have you acknowledged that in your life? Or do you say in your heart, perhaps, I'm not really a sinner. I'm not really that bad. I don't really need to repent. But Christ wants his disciples to see their own unworthiness. Every person must acknowledge that at the beginning of their Christian lives and really all throughout their Christian lives. See your own unworthiness. But the encouraging thing is that in spite of the fact that you don't compare to Christ's character, we see in verse 10 that you can still be used in Christ's service. At the end of verse 10, Jesus says unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You can still be used in Christ's service. It's good to recognize your own unworthiness. And Christ offers comfort and hope for those who will do that. He did that for Peter. He did that for the other disciples who had the same reaction. You can still be used in Christ's service. I like what Matthew Henry said in his commentary on this passage. He said this, those whom Christ designs to admit to the most intimate acquaintance with him, he first makes sensible that they deserve to be set at the greatest distance from him. So when Christ is training his servants, he wants them to come to a sense of their own unworthiness. That's what he wants to see in his disciples, in his fishers of men. I read a story about an advertisement that was made in a large city that a man was going to come and play a violin. And the violin was worth thousands of dollars, and this man was going to come and play it. And so a crowd gathered to a hall, and they were listening to this man play his violin, and he was playing beautiful music. And then all of a sudden, he took the violin out, and he started banging it, and he threw it on the ground, and he stomped it, and smashed it, and everybody was shocked. How could he do that? Then somebody came out and told everyone that it wasn't actually the very expensive violin. It was only just a cheaper version. But the point is that the violinist could make beautiful music out of the old cheap violin, and he could make beautiful music out of the super expensive violin. And the same is true with what Christ can do with his disciples. He can take a disciple who recognizes his own unworthiness, the fact that he's a sinner separate from God, he's not even worthy to be in God's presence, and that's the one that he chooses. That's the one that he uses to be a fisher of men. You may feel like a cheap, worthless instrument. You may feel like there's no possibility that God would ever use you. But it's good to acknowledge your own unworthiness. And in fact, the Lord may not use you until you see yourself as an unworthy servant. That was the very point when he was calling Peter, when he was teaching Peter, when Peter saw his own unworthiness. So Christ is teaching these men, teaching Peter specifically. He wants him to support his service. He wants him to submit to his command. He wants Peter to see his own unworthiness. And then we see a fourth strategy that Jesus has as he trains his disciples, something that we need to follow as well. We see at the end of verse 10, Jesus says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here we see that Jesus wants his disciples to serve Christ wholeheartedly. serve Christ wholeheartedly. That begins with what Jesus says here in the passage when he calls them. If we were to look at the other passages where Jesus called his disciples, over in Mark 1, verse 17, he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Christ was teaching his disciples that there was a process that they needed to go through. Christ didn't just come and take these men and send them out. He said, no, you need to do this, Mark 1:17. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So as we serve Christ wholeheartedly, that needs to start with following Christ continually. Come ye after me, he says, and I will make you to become fishers of men. But then as Christ commands here, as Christ predicts in verse 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Serving Christ wholeheartedly means not only following him, but seeking to reach people for Christ. Seeking to reach people for Christ. That's what it means to be a fisher of men. That's what it means to catch men, to seek to reach them, to reach their souls, to tell them the good news of the gospel. To serve Christ wholeheartedly means to be actively involved in reaching people, reaching souls, seeking to reach people for Christ, catching men. That's what Christ wanted his disciples to be involved in. I read something that a man wrote about how hard it is perhaps for us today to be involved in reaching people for Christ, and maybe thinking we are, and in fact we aren't. But a man wrote this about what he saw in the so-called Christian fishing industry. He said, it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were hungry. Week after week, month after month, year after year, these who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish, and the abundance of fish, and how they might go about fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing means, defended fishing as an occupation, and declared that fishing is always to be the primary task of fishermen. Continually, they search for new and better methods of fishing, for new and better definitions of fishing. Large, elaborate, and expensive training centers were built, whose original purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of fish, the nature of fish, where to find fish, the psychological reactions of fish, how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology, but the teachers did not fish. They only taught fishing. Sometimes we can think that we are engaged in reaching people for Christ, and maybe we aren't so much directly. But to serve Christ wholeheartedly does mean reaching people for Christ. We need to see that as our primary responsibility as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's easy for us to think, well, it's not my primary responsibility. I'm in food service. I got to make the food. Or, I'm in education. I got to teach these children. Or, I'm in maintenance or management. And this is what I focus on primarily. But as a disciple of Christ, God has called you to be a fisher of men. And yes, you may be in maintenance, you may be in another occupation, but Christ would use you in that occupation to reach people for Christ. And we need to see it as a primary responsibility that we have. And then we always need to remind ourselves that we need to be actively involved in doing that. It's so easy to come up with substitutes for thinking that we're doing that. And, we support missionaries here at the church, and that's a good thing. The Lord is pleased with that, I believe. But it doesn't substitute for you being actively involved in seeking to reach your neighbor, your coworker, your son, your grandfather, your grandmother. What are you doing to try to reach them for Christ? We have the adult banquet coming up here. Have you invited anybody? Just go over to your neighbor's house and say, would you come to this? There's going to be a meal, and then someone's going to speak from God's word. Could you do that? What are you doing to be actively involved in seeking to reach people for Christ? We need to make sure that we're actively following Christ in that. Then we see what the disciples did in response in verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Serving Christ wholeheartedly means resisting all other pursuits. The disciples forsook all and followed him. Be willing to abandon all. I wonder what happened to that load of fish. Load of fish was humongous. And as a fisherman, you would be excited because those fish are going to go to market and you're going to cash in and you are going to, be a little bit richer. And what happened to the fish? Well, we don't know what happened to the fish. We know what happened to the disciples. They forsook all and followed Christ. They were willing to leave at that moment what had become a very prosperous occupation. They had a huge load of fish. They could have sold it, but they left that to follow Christ. Be willing to abandon all. Christ talks about the absolute necessity of that response in Luke chapter 14. He says, "So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." We need to recognize as we consider following Christ that there is a cost, that Christ demands wholehearted service. That doesn't necessarily mean that you all need to go into full-time ministry. For some people, that may be what it means. But I think it speaks to an attitude. How closely do you hold on to your financial pursuits, to your occupation, to your home? Be willing to abandon it, to follow Christ. There's a reward for following Christ. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses, that left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Resist all other pursuits. Christ's priority was to work with these men that he would call individually, but he began to work with them. And the things that he taught them, they did not learn all at once. If you read the book of John, you come to the end of the book of John, and you come to John 21, and there's a very similar incident that happens after the resurrection, where the disciples say, "We're going to go back to our occupation. We're going fishing again." And then the very same thing happens. Christ comes to them after his resurrection, and the same thing happens. He shows them his power in this huge catch of fish that they come to again. And they realize afresh they need to serve Christ. But they had to learn that lesson again, actually. They didn't learn it all at once. They did learn something here, I'm sure. Simon did that. But that's true with us as well. We may learn a lesson in our lives, and we may need another reminder when it comes a few years down the road. Christ wants us to follow him. Christ wants us to be fishers of men. How do we do that? Well, at any point in our lives, whether we've committed to him at some point in the past or not, We see here that that begins with supporting Christ's service. It may be in an indirect way. It means submitting to Christ's command. What is Christ commanding you to do today? It means seeing your own unworthiness. You don't deserve to follow Christ. You are an unworthy sinner. But it's good that you see that. If you see that, Christ can use you. And then serve Christ wholeheartedly. Continually follow Him. It means reaching people for Christ. And it means resisting all other pursuits. So how do you line up to that today? I think probably all of us, as we look at this passage, we would see an area that, I really need work in that. I really fall behind in that. Christ is teaching us through His Word. It's reminding us of these lessons again. We need to heed these in our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message that we have here in Your Word. We thank You that You do use worthless sinners, people who would sense that they do not deserve to be with You. Oh Lord, we pray that You would show each of us today the sinfulness of our hearts. And we thank You, Lord, that we can still serve You. In spite of that, You would still use us, even as You used Simon Peter. So Lord, we pray that You would give us grace to follow You in the way that You would have us to. Help us to see the Savior and to see His divine power and His mission as He came to earth to die for our sins. We pray that You would help us to serve Him with all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to